friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Though the sky be dark and drear, fierce and strong the gale, just remember He is near, and He will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust His everlasting power, Jesus will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails.
Man, thank you, Rick and Bettina. I'm so glad Jesus never fails. I fail a lot, but Jesus never does. I'm so grateful for that thought, that He doesn't give up on us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you'd turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. I would say that we're taking a break from John chapter 15, but we have for a month now. with our missions emphasis month, I say that we had a good emphasis month. I really think we learned some good things from some of our missionaries, from some of our own. And it was a good month, and I trust that we will move forward and encourage our missionaries, know how to pray for our missionaries, and get more involved with our missionaries. But that is over now, although I will say the Valcarcels are going to be with us here in a couple weeks, and so we look forward to them. They weren't really part of our missions Ephesus month, but we still get them and in the morning, and so look forward to that, and know that we can be a blessing to them. I'm sure they'll be a blessing to us. The intention was to get back into John chapter 15 as we're continuing to look at the fruit and the vine and all that is in John chapter 15. But I was looking one day in my Bible, and I was in 2 Timothy, and I read over a verse that I read over all the time. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God is so full of verses that you read over, and we trick ourselves into thinking that we know the Bible, don't we? We know it, and you know, we're not surprised at anything. Well, the fact of the matter is we know we don't know the Bible, and isn't it amazing that the Word of God brings about verses, things, passages of Scripture that we have probably read tens, twenties of times, and yet what we needed for that day or for that week, God gave it to us. Has that ever happened to you? I hope that it happens all the time. You know what? It should happen to us every day. I want to encourage you to be in the Word of God. The Word of God is a living book. It's living. It's the Word. It's a living Word. And that's why it's so valuable. It's valuable to us because in 2017, it still is good for me in my life. And I'll tell you what, the issues that are addressed, the things that I need, are still the issues of today. That's God's good word. It was good for the people. It was, you know, Paul's address to Timothy way back then, that's what Timothy needed. And it's what I needed this week. And I know that it's what you need as well. I don't take lightly that you're here in the service this morning. God has directed you here. You say, well, Pastor, I'm here every week. God directed you here today. God has you here for a purpose, and that's to take what the passage is going to teach us, what God wants us to learn. Maybe you're here for the first time. God directed you here today. God has directed you here because it's what we need. But that's always the way it is when you open up God's word. It's not something unique this morning. We need God's word. In our devotions, we open up the Word of God, and He gives us what we need. Sometimes we've got to dig a little bit to find what it is, but it's there. God has something for us this morning that I want you to be able to see, and this message is different than what I'm used to. It's very simple. I hesitate to say it's very short, because if I go to the full length of time and even go over, you'll say, you lied to us. But we'll leave that to the Holy Spirit and the length of it, but it is very simple truths, something that we can all understand, but yet it's very profound. And I, again, would you give the short amount of time that we're going to be looking at this passage completely over? Put everything aside, all the thoughts of last week and all the thoughts of this next week, maybe this afternoon, the dinner that you have in the oven, everything, put it aside. And let's give God our best in the next few moments. See what He has for you. I challenge you to give your best to the Lord here in the next few moments. Now, when you think of 2 Timothy, we know that Paul, nearing the end of his life, is writing to young Timothy to encourage this young man in the faith. Paul is about ready to die, and he knows it. And he's going to give him all he has. This is his grand finale. He says, Timothy, I want you to get all this. So this is all important stuff. Not that there's any part of the scriptures that are not important. They're all important equally. Yet this part, as far from Paul to Timothy, was super important. He's given some instructions about being a pastor, given him instructions about the ministry, giving him instructions about the leadership in the church. And we look to verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, because that's a verse we all know and we can quote. Look at verse 2. We know this, and the things that thou hast heard among me, heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now we know that verse. And my eyes, even when I go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, automatically skip over verse 1 and they go to verse 2. But this last week or the week before, I forget exactly when it was. I'll tell you what it was. It was the morning of our men's prayer breakfast. I was looking at this and I read verse 1. Again, not the first time I read it, but I always go to verse 2 and kind of think through that discipleship process. Okay, I've got a responsibility to teach a young person here, and then that person, if I do my job right, then that person will teach the next generation, and that's how you have multiplication in our discipleship. And that's a super important principle that we can look at another time, but God caught a hold of me in verse 1. And I started digging a little bit. What does that mean? I want to share that with you this morning. Look at verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When you see the words thou therefore, we understand that we need to be looking at our context, because they're there for a reason. In all in light of what's been said, or in sometimes it's a little bit ahead of things about what it's about to say. Now, as I studied it, the idea of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 is done, and he goes into something else now, and he says, thou therefore, my son, he said, there's some things, there's some difficult times that are going to come up, and I want you, Timothy, to know how to go through these times. You know, the life in the ministry would not be easy. And he wants to tell him there's going to be some important things that you're going to be able to make it. through the ministry. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I want to part this verse up a little bit according to phrases and a few words that we need to look at. And I, for a purpose, want to jumble it up just a little bit to give you so that when we get to the other part, the instruction part of it, it will make sense. How are we to be strong? Now, when I read this verse in the outset, when I just look at it, I see this. Okay, Timothy's getting instruction from Paul, and Paul is telling Timothy, be strong. How? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So there's two parts of it. It's Paul telling Timothy to be strong. And we have an idea in our minds of what that might look like. And then we have the how. How is he going to be strong? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, when I look at this initially, I get confused. Not confused, maybe is the wrong word, but I get like, but how can I make that work? I don't understand. He's telling me to be strong, but it's not in anything that I have. It's in his strength. And I know, we know that our strength comes from God, right? Do we know that? I hope we know that. We don't have anything of ourselves. We know that it's from God, but somehow I am here and his strength is over here and supposedly it's going to make its way over. And my question mark is, so what about this middle ground? How is it going to make it from there to here? That's what I want to help you with this morning, because I feel like many people are there. I'm supposed to be helped by his strength. We know that we have his strength, and yet I'm supposed to be helped. I'm supposed to be strong, but I want you to look first of all. Let's go right to the middle of the verse. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want us to look at the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the word grace. What is the word grace? What does the word grace mean? In a very general sense, apart from God, grace is a gift. And we could look at what the English definition of gift is. A gift is something that we get apart from our work. A birthday comes up. Christmas is coming up. And we think about gifts. Parents or grandparents don't judge their gift, if it's truly a gift, based upon their children's good work throughout the year. They don't add up all the points to see if they're worthy of this certain thing, if it's truly a gift. A gift as opposed to a wage. A wage is something that is earned, right? You go to work every day, 5 days a week, or however your schedule is. You go to work, and you work hard. You punch in when you get there. You put in your time on the time clock there, and you go and you work your 8 hours or whatever it is. And then when you leave, you take that same card, and you punch it in. You worked 8 hours. Your boss has got together with you. You've come up with an agreement, and for every hour that you work, you get a certain amount of pay, and so that you can calculate to a T what you're going to get, with a few exceptions of maybe what, you know, the taxes are going to be taken out or whatever a few variables. But you know about what you're going to get because you put in that time, and that's called a wage. You're working for something, and it's no big surprise to you when your boss hands you that check, or you go into your box and there it is, or you get it in the mail, or it's directly deposited into your account. That's there. You don't say, wow, I've got a loving boss. Right? No, you say, I knew it was that case because I worked for that and I knew it was going to come. That is a wage. As opposed to a gift is something that maybe you were putting in the work, you get the wage, but the gift is when there's an extra bonus on top of that that you didn't work for. That's something that was free. It's something that was gifted to you that you did not deserve. That is what grace is. Grace is giving you something that you didn't work for. You didn't earn it. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here we're not only speaking of the general gift, but we're speaking of the specific divine, God-given gift. Divine gifting. Now, at the base point, the foundation of the divine gift, what gift do we all think of that we all have if we are trusting in Christ? We have the gift of salvation, right? God's gift of salvation. He gave himself to us. Did any of us deserve that gift? The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We understand that salvation is freely offered to all of mankind on a free basis. It's nothing that we deserve. Some people might feel like they deserve God's salvation because I have been a good individual, or I have done this, or I have accomplished this task. I have raised a good family. I have been at church every day of my life, you know, on the weekend. I have devoted myself in time. I have given to these charities. I have done good work to God. Now, what would we call that? That would be a wage, right? Working for it. And here, God says that it's not our works. In Ephesians, he said, it's not our works. Timothy also, we see it in Titus, excuse me. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not our work. Okay, so here we have this grace. On the foundation part of it, we see God's gift to us of Jesus Christ. He's offer of salvation. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever received that gift? It's offered to you. Why do we need that? The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, for all have sinned. You know that every one of us has sinned? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is God's glory? He's perfect. He's holy. We have fallen short of that because we're sinners. The Bible teaches that our wage of that, every time that I sin, I am working for a specific wage, and that wage is what? The wage of sin is death. I'm actually working for that death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the penalty so that, you know, it's not the wage that you earned. No, it's the gift. It's what you didn't earn. The gift of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for you. The Bible teaches, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not believe on a baptism. Not believe on the money put in the offering plate. Not believe on the good works that I did raising a family. Not believe in all of my time spent at church and service. Not believe in what my parents did and how many generations I could go back and went to the church and gave to this. No, but on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It is finished. Done. Does that make sense? And folks, by the way, when he died on the cross and said it is finished, it was all done. There's nothing more to improve upon it. This is the foundational gift that God has given to us. So here's the grace. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. God has given this salvation. But folks, it's not the only gift that Christ has given to us. You see, there's more that is consequent from this gift, this base point of salvation. And by the way, God has given us salvation, and we ought to think about our salvation. We ought to continually be reminded about that. But there's more than that salvation. Beyond the base point, up from the foundation, there's all the consequences of that grace of salvation. It's all of God's goodness. What else has God given to us besides salvation? He's given to us provisions. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever given you anything? Folks, God is so good to us, isn't he? You know, right now I could open it up to you and say, what has God given to you? And what has he given to you? I'm going to do that for just a few moments. What has God given? Go ahead and say it. What has God given to you personally? What has God given to you? Peace of mind. Somebody else said something else. A good family. What else? Strength. Salvation. God's goodness. What else? Provisions. How? Let's get specific. How has God provided? A car. Strength. Food. House. And we take these things for granted some days, don't we? No doubt, maybe this morning when you're eating your bowl of Wheaties or whatever you ate. I forgot that they even had Wheaties out there. I haven't had Wheaties forever. I don't know why I thought of Wheaties, but whatever. Whatever you were eating this morning, you know what? Probably most of you took time to bow your head and say thank you, but did you thank God? You know what I mean? Really think about it. Did you thank God? Because we in America, we've not really missed a meal unless it was by choice. There might have been a few of you that have missed a meal because of things being tight. But isn't it true that we expect our breakfast in the morning and we don't really think much about eating it? But you know what? These things that we mentioned, we ought not take them for granted. We ought to really say, God, you have graced me because you didn't deserve the bowl of Wheaties. You might think that a bowl of Wheaties isn't worth anything, but we, folks, what do we deserve? We deserve hell. God doesn't have a right to give me that bowl of cereal. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything, but he has. See, that's called a gift. So we have at the base, the foundation, we have salvation, but God has given to us so much. He's given to us provisions. What about protection? I was talking with some men the other night, and isn't it amazing how God protects us in our lives? Isn't it? I was talking with there was a few of us, and we were talking, I wonder how many times we had no idea that we were in a near-miss accident, and we didn't even know. What do you think? I wonder how many times God protects us from things. Some that we do know. The other day I was coming out of the library. I was over there at the library doing some studying, and I came right out, and as I was pulling out into the lane, I heard a loud crash. I had no idea what it was. When I turned coming out of, this is the E-Town Library, when I turned onto the road, E-Town Road there, I looked ahead of me, and right there in the square, in the center, right there in E-Town, the two cars had collided. And that's what I heard. Well, that was right in front of me. God protected me. And I praise the Lord that that wasn't me there. How many deer do we not see? We don't know, do we? But I bet there are a whole lot more deer that we don't see, that we had no idea that was just getting run out. One, it wasn't too long ago. I kind of shared this with you. It was this last year. We were delayed at church. You know, sometimes, you know, family wants to get home and do whatever, get ready for bed and go to school the next day, whatever. We were going home. And that day we were delayed, and there must have been some sort of, I don't know if it was agitation or something, that we wished that we had gotten out of there sooner, but when we went down the road on 743, we had seen that a deer or two had come across the road and caused a couple cars to be in an accident, and it had just happened because people were just pulling, you know, it just happened. Now we can say, glad that we missed it, but what do we know is the truth? You see, God gave me grace to make it through at the right time. Now, I will say on the other side, just because maybe you hit the deer this week doesn't mean that God's grace wasn't involved, because God is always working together good in your life. So that would be another subject to get onto. So we have God's grace of provisions, protection. We have God's gift of victory, and that's what I want to hone in on for a moment. Has God told us that we have the victory through Jesus Christ? He has. God has told us that we have victory. Victory over what? Victory over death. Are you thankful that you don't have to go to hell? Victory over sin. Are you thankful that you don't have to sin? Do you know that you don't have to sin? We can choose to do right. God gave us, through Jesus Christ, the victory. And we have it right here. He's given to us that victory. So now, in my illustration, I say, okay, I'm over here, and this victory is over here. Let's correct that. No, victory is not even over there. I've got victory right here. I'm going to give you an illustration here in a moment that I want you to understand. Here I am, and here is victory. Not that I am victory, but Christ has given me the victory because he lives inside of me. Christ is with me, and so I have victory right here. But I still have a dilemma because I know that I'm needy. I know that I'm weak, and I need that victory, and I'm supposed to be strong in this grace. So God has graced me with victory. Victory over that sin, victory over these trials, victory over defeat, victory over doubt, victory over guilt about sin, guilt about things of the past. I need victory, and we all want victory. Isn't that true? Do you want victory in your life? I do. And yet it's so close, and yet we have a hard time knowing how to bridge that. How does it come? And it's right here. What does the Bible say about us in strength? The Bible refers to us as being weak, doesn't it? We're weak. We know that there's nothing within us. The book of Romans tells us we have nothing. We're all sinners. Our works of righteousness even are as filthy rags. We understand our weakness. So again, if I could, in the illustration, let me say, here I am in my weakness. I don't have what it takes to do right. Have you ever tried to do right? And we're weak. Over here was victory, and we see that victory is right here. I want you to picture with me, what many of you have today. Melissa and I were just recently talking about when cell phones came into being. And if you look on the record, cell phones have been around for a long time. But practically, though, they didn't come about until, for me in my life, I remember when my dad, grew up in Wyoming, the state of Wyoming, so I had to drive, you know, I forget what it was, 1,500 miles to school. And my dad didn't like that. And so he bought me one of those. You remember those old Motorola bag phones that you have? It was similar to that, but there was a phone there. And it was available. It was a big old thing. Boy, you could use it for a skit today, you know, one of those big, big things that flipped open. But back then, I didn't think it was so funny. In fact, I remember having that, you know, and taking it into the dorm room and having that thing. I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. You know, now can you imagine if I walked down the road with one of those things? Well, they're actually getting bigger again, so they just don't flip out. But I remember having one of those things. And cell phones, you know, they've been around. We understand what cell phones are. Everybody uses them for the most part. I know some of you might not, but we understand this. And I want you to think of this cell phone. That cell phone is only as good as how long the battery lasts, right? You ever needed your cell phone and it run out of battery? And it's no more use to you. I guess you could light it on fire and throw it up like a flare or something, you know, but it's not worth being, it's not going to call for you, it's not going to do anything, you can't text anybody, you can't, you know, dial anything on it. And so what becomes valuable to you at that point? What do you need to do? You need to charge it up, right? Okay, and so we have the outlet. And we have the cell phone. The cell phone, the battery is weak. And every moment that it's not connected, it's losing its battery, right? What does that cell phone need? It needs to be linked up with the outlet. Now, we know that within the outlet, is what we would consider the power source. Now, I understand that the power source isn't in the outlet. It's coming from some other place. But for practical application here, let's say that the power source is in the outlet. You with me on that? Here's the power. If I plug into the power, then I'm okay. And here's the dead cell phone. It doesn't matter how far away it is, even if they're right there. I can go set my cell phone next to the outlet. And what's the problem? Will it just automatically charge up? No, it's not going to. What is needed? There's a little bit of this, and I want to submit to you that what is in the middle of this is coming back to the words that are in the beginning of this verse that say, be strong. There's the connection, and there's still a question mark. Be strong. I am in my weakness. I'm supposed to be strong, and I attach myself to this grace that is in Christ Jesus. But I feel sometimes like the dead cell phone that is right there because I know that I have the victory within me, but I don't understand how to just get it. Now, let's go up to those words, be strong. What do those words, be strong, mean? The word be is not as opposed to do. Do is an action that I just go and do. To be is a state of who I am. I am this. And this is I act it out, certainly. But it's a state of who I am. To be. He says be. This is a continuous. It involves action, but it's passive. Now that's interesting about this phrase here. Be strong. What do we think of when we read be strong? When we think of just be strong without any Bible knowledge, what do we think? Right? Have you ever woke up in the morning struggling with this thing that you're trying to get victory over and you did this? I'm going to do right today. Right? I'm going to do this today. I'm going to try my best to be a good daddy today. I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be a good worker. I'm going to be this. And we think of be strong. The word here, be strong, the phrase here, be strong, is not any action on our parts. And it doesn't just involve an action that we do and we stop. It's a state of being, and it's passive. In other words, I receive my strength from somebody else. I receive it from somebody else that has the continuous power available all the time. Now, we know where that comes from. Where does our power come from? He says, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So our power source is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We've already looked at that. It's the grace. It's the salvation that we've received. It's all the good things that God has given to us. So all the package is right there available to us. God, has God been good to you? In salvation, in all the things that he's helped you with, protection, provision, and all everything else, on and on and on. Has God been good? It's right there. It's available. How in the world am I going to be strong? It's passive, folks. It's not something that I'm just going to do. That cell phone can try all it wants to. It can try and try and try to call somebody, but it can't do anything. Right? But it's got it because the outlet's right there. And here we are in this dilemma because the preachers always get up and tell you, you have the victory, now just claim it. And you say, what? How do I do that? How do I do it? Because you tell me that I'm not supposed to do anything. It's passive. You see the dilemma? So we have the answer. And I'm supposed to be strong. But here we sit. And in my opinion, there's many Christians that are sitting here and they're just saying, okay, you keep telling me I have the victory. We sing about it. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world, and victory in Jesus and God all this. And I know that he died for me. And I know I've got the victory to say no to sin. I know I've got the victory to do it, but I'm sorry, I'm weak. I can't do it. But you're telling me I've got it. And then you tell me I'm not supposed to do anything because it's passive. Passive tense means that you don't do it. Because if you do it, you'll fail. Have you tried doing it? Have you tried getting victory yourself? Have you woken up in the morning and saying, I'm going to be right today? I have. Many times, many days, many weeks, many months, many years. I'm going to do right today. And guess where the end is? What's the cell phone still doing at the end of the day? I can't do it. I can't make a call. The last few moments, I want to give you what I believe is the answer here. So how am I able to appropriate, get my hands upon this answer? Now, for the third thing that we want to look at today, I ask you the question back to the cell phone. What needs to happen with the cell phone and the power outlet? I like Carrie's answer. It needs to be connected. Is the power source there? Are we weak? What do we need to do? You see, we need to be plugged in. We need to be plugged into it. It's right there. I've got it. I've got to be plugged in. It's the connection. How do I passively be strong in Christ Jesus' grace? And that grace of Christ Jesus is his salvation. How can I be strong in his salvation? Now, did we do anything to get his salvation? No. So how can I be strong in his salvation? This I call to mind. What are we going to do tonight in the Lord's table? What's the key word? This do in remembrance of me. Do you know how I appropriate God's grace of salvation in my life? I plug in. I receive his grace. You see, it's very much a mental recognition of what God has done in remembrance of me. And when I remember, wow, what Jesus Christ has done for me and how he took my place on the cross, we'll have an opportunity to remember that tonight when we partake of the broken body, the wafer that will be passed around and given. When I look at that little wafer, I'm going to say, he broke his body. He substituted his body for me. I'm grateful for that. And when I think about that, guess what I get? I'm plugged in and I get strength. I get strength to do right. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, I'm thankful for the substitution. And then the juice is passed around. And then I recall to my mind, I remember his blood on the cross. And that makes me remember the spiritual side of things and how he took away my sin and he made me a child of God and he gave me his rightful spot over here with God. He made me a son of righteousness. I am now declared righteousness. And when I look at my sin, I say, praise the Lord for that. And I plug myself into this and I'll tell you what, it's effective in my life. And I say, wow, God is good. And I remember what he's done. And I remember the things then beyond salvation of how God's been good to me. Let me ask you a question. Is it encouraging to you to remember how God's been good to you through the years? How God has provided when you didn't know that there was anything left to give? How God led when you didn't have a clue where to go? How God prevented when you thought that you knew the right answer? How God always came through for you? Folks, this is the grace, and this is what we're supposed to receive the strength from. How are we going to do it? We've got to connect. We've got to get plugged in. We've got to start remembering. We've got to start calling to mind. We've got to start connecting. I looked at the scriptures. What do we find in the scriptures that tell us about this connection? Turn to Psalm chapter 86. We have a few verses that we want to look at here that I want you to see on this practical side of connecting, because my opinion, folks, is this. If we would start practicing connecting, we would start receiving the grace that we can be strong in order to get the victory, to continue on in our lives and claim that victory that we have already. And I'll tell you that the few scriptures that I have are so inadequate to look at all the ways that we connect with him. But just for example, I told you Psalm chapter 86, be ready to turn. We're going to look at a few passages. Psalm 86 and verse 9. Here we think of thanksgiving. Psalm 86:9. We read this verse. says, all nations whom thou hast made, what does he say? Shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. You know that all throughout the scriptures, God is telling us that everybody, we ought to bring honor and glory to God. We ought to come and connect with him and bring our praises to him and worship. Thanksgiving. Look at Psalm chapter 50. Go back. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 23. Number of verses in this passage that we could have looked at, but Psalm 50 and verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now, did you catch that? Whoso offer praises glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, what will he do? Will I show the salvation of God. Now, can we do anything to earn our salvation? No, but what will God do when I offer thanksgiving and praise to him? He'll show me his salvation. You see, that's our practical way of connecting. I thank the Lord, and he shows himself strong to me. Wow, and there it is. I receive his strength. I receive his strength. I receive his strength through thanksgiving. We're not going to turn there, but remember the problem in Romans chapter 1? How come the people ended up in such a reprobate mind? What were they guilty of in the beginning? Verse 21 tells us. They didn't do what? They didn't glorify him, neither were they thankful. Folks, we need to start being thankful. Thankfulness is a way we connect with the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's being thankful. What about praise? Praise and thanksgiving alike to hear. Praise, thanksgiving. That's why we sing the songs, folks. If you just sit there and you don't sing the songs, you're missing out on being plugged in. You're missing out on being plugged in. Let me ask you a question. What is happening to a cell phone and a battery that's not being plugged in? What is automatically happening when it's not connected? It's gradually doing what? Losing power. Now you think about that in the illustration. What's happening when we're not plugged in? We are gradually losing power when we're not thankful, when we're not praising him. Psalm chapter 96. Psalm chapter 96. How do we connect with the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Psalm 96, look at verses 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. It's making the salvation come alive to us. It's connecting with the salvation that we already have. How do we do it? Second of all, sing. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have a good voice. You need to be connected. Did you hear that? You need to be connected. Singing will connect you. I want to tell you something. I can come up here some days, and you know what? I might feel tired. I might feel weak. I might feel inadequate. I might feel whatever. I'll tell you, but sometimes I sit here, and we stand up and sing some of these songs, and it gives me the strength and energy till we're done with our song service. You feel like preaching. It's a blessing. Why do we sing the songs that we do beforehand? I want to tell you, one of the reasons is so that we can connect with God, so that we can be in tune for what he is about ready to give us. We need to be singing. And I'll say this, if you're not a singer in our congregation, you need to begin because you need to connect. It's more than just with a church service, though, about our day. You want to be connected? You want to be plugged in? We're all quick to plug in our cell phones, but we need to plug into Christ. Plug into his goodness and his grace. And we need to start singing about what God has done for us. We need to sing about the victory in Jesus. We need to sing about the salvation that he's given to us. We need to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We need to bring God honor and glory through that singing. We could look at Isaiah and a couple different spots there. And we see that the strength comes from that singing. Isaiah chapter 12, you can look it up in your own time, verses 2 and verse 6 tell us about that singing and that strength that he gives us. What about Psalm 119 and verse 11? You know that verse? I'll give you a clue. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Yes. How else can we get the strength from the grace of Jesus Christ? We memorize Scripture. You see, memorization of Scripture, as Scripture comes into us, it gets us connected with Him. And what will it do? That I might not sin against thee. You see, you need to get connected. And the Word of God is what we need to connect with. We get connected, and guess what? We have that victory that we have. You keep telling us, preacher, that we've got the victory. Yeah, plug into it. We got to make use of these verses that we've memorized. If we haven't memorized them, then we need to memorize them so we can plug in. Memorization. What about meditation? What does Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say? Go there quickly. You probably were already in Psalm. Go back to Psalm chapter 1. We know this. The verse tells us what we shouldn't be with, but verse 2 says, but His delight, or get plugged into, is the being plugged into the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. What will happen to the individual that's meditating upon God? Okay, we're sitting here dead in our trespasses and sins. We're sitting here weak. Our battery's dead. What is it going to be that gets us strength? Delighting in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. What's the result? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Folks, I want to tell you, we need to be connected. Being connected in a number of ways. Being thankful, praising the Lord, singing, memorization of Scripture, meditating upon Scripture. We get some of these things through being at church. Folks, you can't be encouraged in the things of the Lord when you're not in God's house. So many people think that they can just stay at home. No, you need to be here with God's people, getting connected to the one who has the grace in Christ Jesus. You need to be here so that you can be a part of this connection. Church services, devotions, it amazes me how many people come and sit in our church pews that are struggling having their devotions. Folks, you need to be connected. Why in the world do we just automatically expect that we need to plug in our cell phones every day, but yet we won't get plugged into God's Word on a daily basis? Question, is your cell phone going to die if you don't plug in? What will happen to you if you don't get plugged in? You say, preacher, but the outlet is right there. And I've got a cord. Plug it in. We've got to connect with Christ. How else can we connect? I want to encourage you, there's other practical ways, and we could go on and on with lists. You know what? It's a good thing when you're at home to have good music playing in your home. I'll tell you what, you can be at home, and when there's idleness, when there's quietness, when there's aloneness, it can be a dangerous thing. You need to be connected to the Lord. It'd be connected to His things, be connected to His grace, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Play Scripture. Get some whatever you use these days for your media. You know, whether it's CDs or you've got your iTunes or whatever it is. Get plugged into listening to the good music. I want to tell you something. It'll make a difference in your day. In your mouth, in your ears, in your eyes. Getting plugged in the church services, listening to the Word of God being preached. By the way, it's not just the Word of God, it's being preached. The Bible talks about preaching. You can't just be strong just through staying at home reading your Bible. The Bible uses preaching to convince men. Preaching of God's Word. Praising, thanking, singing, memorizing, meditating, listening. Devotions, godly music, and the list goes on and on with ways that we can connect. As we connect with God and the grace that is in Christ Jesus, we access the power and grace in our own lives, which appropriates the victory in our lives. You see, when you're doing right, you're not going to be doing wrong. Do you know that that's a biblical principle? That we find when we look at the flesh and the spirit. And the two are contrary one with another. They're enemies. You can't be doing one and doing the other at the same time. So if we get plugged in, what are we not doing? We're not losing power. We're not sinning. We're not getting defeated. We're getting plugged in. But I'll tell you what, when we're not plugged in, we will be going down. The flesh and the spirit cannot work together. So if we want to do right, we need to be plugged in. Many times, the reasons why we're not plugging in is because we're involved we're plugged into something else. We're plugged into sin. We need to stay connected. As we disconnect, we lose the practical victory and flesh takes over. And we begin to lose. Folks, I know you're struggling with things because that's the human way. I want to encourage you in a very practical way. You say, preacher, how can I access this victory that is right here, that you keep talking about, that's right here? In our weakness, just start connecting with Christ and getting his power. When we're plugged into him, we will get the strength. We have the strength to do right. And this and the result is victorious Christian living. You see, it's another way that we look at the topic of practicing his presence. Practicing his presence. Father, would you help us to be connected? Lord, my mind quickly goes to those people who in this room maybe have never trusted you as their personal Lord and Savior. Oh God, you're the answer. You're the answer to eternal life. And God, if there's somebody in this room that has never initially received that foundational grace of salvation, oh God, would I pray that you'd give us the opportunity today to connect them to God through Jesus Christ. God, I'm asking that we would know of that need and that we can help them to see their need of salvation. God, it would be a wonderful thing today if that could happen. Lord, I think of all the other people in here who have, and they have the victory. They have the answers right there. Lord, I pray that we would stop living our lives independent from something that's so present and start connecting. God, would you help us to make practical in our minds, in our lives, put it to memory who you are and what you've done for us. God, would we be ever able to share with people, because it's on our minds about salvation. It's on our minds about all that you have done. Lord, we shouldn't have to stop and think about how you've been good to us today. We should be able to have it right on our tongues, how you've been good. God, help us to make it practical this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.